how long you'll be here. But I can say that if you try to drive anywhere in your condition, I don't think you'll make it alive.
If I drove 1 hour and then rested?
I'm afraid not. I'll look in on you tomorrow at this time, unless you'd prefer to send for your own doctor.
I haven't got a doctor.
I'll be here around 11.
That's the bellboy. Would you open the door, please?
Hello, Doc. Morning, Mr. Miller. How are you feeling today?
Not so good, Jerry.
Well, here's the Charleston Leader. The out-of-town papers didn't come in yet.
That's all right. There's change in my coat, Jerry.
Oh, never mind, Mr. Miller. You'll catch me next time.
Thank you.
Don't mention it.
I'll be here tomorrow, Mr. Miller.
Thank you, Doctor.
And don't get out of bed, please.
I won't.
Say, Doc.
Yes?
He's pretty sick, isn't he?
I'm afraid he is, Jerry. Does the hotel know anything about him where we could notify his family?
Well, no. The manager was up to see him, and he said he didn't have any family. You going down to the lobby, Doc?
Yes.
That's a tough break, isn't it, all by yourself in a hotel room, huh? Is it something serious, Doc?
Quite.
Going down. Well, he was telling me he had a kind of heart condition once before. Lobby, Harry.
Does the hotel have his home address, Jerry?
No, he just registered from New York City, that's all.
Well, what does he do?
Well, he's a salesman, I think. You'll be in tomorrow, Doc?
Around 11.
Okay.
Call me at the office if you need me.
Yeah, sure thing, Doc.
Bayview Hotel. Oh, just a moment, please. I'll connect you.
Hi.
So what did the doc say?
Mr. Miller is real sick. Going to be around here a long while.
Jerry, are you sure?
How many times do I have to tell you? I'm positive. All I got to do is play this thing right, and there's 20,000 bucks in it.
In the year 1951, Walter Edmund Miller was a shy, quiet-spoken man of 42, chief cashier of a small-town bank in upstate New York. A year later, Walter Miller was a fugitive, wanted for the embezzlement of $83,000 during the last 10 years of his employment at the bank. Miller disappeared unobtrusively, and when the story broke in the papers, there were very few people in the town who could say they knew him.
Come in.
Oh, hello, Jerry.
Hi, Mr. Miller. I'm just going off duty, so I figured I'd bring you something to keep you company tonight. Here's a couple of magazines. Here's that horse racing book that you wanted. And here is what the doctor ordered. A fifth of good, healthy bourbon.
Thank you, Jerry. I'm so much indebted to you already.
Oh, forget it. You like Old Fox bourbon?
I'm afraid I don't know one brand from another.
Yeah? That's a laugh, huh? You never take a drink in your life, and here you get... You gotta take an ounce of this stuff twice a day, and it just goes to show you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You mind if I join you?
Of course not.
Not that I go for the stuff, but after a day hopping bells in this joint.
Yes, I can imagine.
Well, your health, Mr. Miller. And I mean that.
Thank you.
Was the doc in today?
Yes, he was here this morning.
Gotta be up and hitting the road pretty soon, huh?
No, I'm afraid not, Jerry. Not for a while, anyway.
Oh, it's tough. You, hear anything from Mayville yet?
From where?
From Mayville, New York. That's your hometown, isn't it?
No, it isn't. I come from New York City, Jerry.
Well, that's funny. I thought it was Mayville.
What made you think that?
Well, I was looking at this New York paper we get down here, and there was a picture of a guy. He looked just like you. And he was from a place called Mayville.
Someone like me?
Mm-hmm. This guy in the picture got in some kind of trouble. He took $83,000 out of the Mayville bank. The guy in the picture couldn't have been you, huh, Mr. Miller?
What are you trying to get at, Jerry?
A business deal, Mr. Miller. Here's the paper in case you want to see for yourself. It says the picture was taken about 10 years ago, but you haven't changed too much. Here, take a look.
Jerry, you've made a terrible mistake. I've never been in Mayville in my life.
All right, I'll check with the house detective. You may be right.
Jerry!
Yeah?
What do you want?
Money.
I know you won't believe this,
but you spent the whole $83,000 on the horses.
That's true.
All but $3,600. That's all I have left. Now, if you want part of that...
I want $20,000, Mr. Miller.
But I haven't got it. I swear I spent it all in the last 5 years. Wait, I'll show you my bets on the horses. I've kept a whole set of books.
You better not be too excited, Mr. Miller. Yeah, the doc says that you could drop dead any minute. You wouldn't want to drop dead in a crummy hotel room like this, would you?
Back to the Hart case in just a moment. Friends, Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum is a refreshing, delicious treat you can enjoy even while you're working, driving your car, or busy doing other things. Just slip a stick into your mouth and chew it as long as you like. The pleasant chewing will make the time pass more pleasantly for you, and you'll enjoy that cooling, refreshing flavor. It'll help to keep your mouth and throat moist, a real help on warm summer days. Keep a package or two of Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum handy all the time. Chew and enjoy it often, as millions do. That's Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Healthful, refreshing, delicious. And now, Act Two of tonight's story, The Hart Case. When we began to dig into Walter Miller's background, we found that he had been married in 1936 in Jacksonville, Florida. In 1939, his wife obtained a divorce and retained custody of the child. Agent Reynolds and I visited the former Mrs. Miller, who was now remarried and still living in Jacksonville.
I can't really believe it. Walter was always so honest about money matters. He always paid his bills. He kept up our insurance.
Mrs. Connor, have you heard from Mr. Miller at all since the divorce or at any time in the last 10 years?
Oh, of course. He always sends a check for Bobby every 3 months, and sometimes he'll call me and ask how the boy is doing.
Have you heard from him recently?
No, not since... I can't remember exactly when the last check was, but it's been longer than 3 months this time.
And Mrs. Connor, did Mr. Miller contribute regularly to the support of your boy? Is that it?
Yes, he did. I never asked him to, but he wanted to do it.
Was your last check from Mayville?
Yes, it was.
Did Mr. Miller write a letter when he sent the check, Mrs. Connor?
No, he didn't like to write. He mostly phoned.
And you haven't heard from him in 3 months or more?
As far as I can remember.
And Mrs. Connor, we talked with Mr. Miller's landlady, and she believes he was heading south after leaving Mayville. Has he ever visited your son since the divorce?
Yes, a couple of years ago.
Well, evidently he takes a great interest in the boy.
Yes, he does.
And Mrs. Connor, we're going to leave a phone number with you and ask you to notify us if Mr. Miller communicates with you in any way.
I wish you wouldn't.
Your former husband embezzled more than $80,000, Mrs. Connor.
Yes, you told me.
Here's the number, Mrs. Connor. Naturally, we can't insist.
I'll let you know if he gets in touch with me.
Thank you.
That's all right. I suppose Bobby will find out someday anyway. You can't keep hiding a thing like this forever.
All right, Mr. Miller, let's cut the horsing around. Where are you hiding?
Jerry, I've told you 100 times I spent the money.
Yeah, you told me. Your suitcase in this closet?
There's nothing in that suitcase but clothes.
Yeah, well, I'll see for myself.
Look, I gave you 3,000. I only have a few hundred left.
Well, I told you I want 20.
Please believe me.
You better not get excited, Mr. Miller. In your condition, you could drop dead.
There's nothing in the bathroom either.
There's a razor blade. I'd rather take 80 G's out of a bank or hide it in the lining of a suitcase.
What can I do to convince you?
Just shut up, that's all.
Well, now, you see, there's nothing in there.
Yeah, I see.
If you want half of what I have left, if you want 300...
Mr. Miller, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you 24 hours to think this over, and then I'm going to call the cops and tell them who you are.
But I gave you $3,000.
I spent that taking my girl to dinner last night. Come on, Miller. I'll let you have one more...
Jerry! You better give me that medicine. Teaspoon. In water.
Okay, I'll give it to you. Where do you keep your money, Mr. Miller? Come on! All you better do is tell me where it is. You'll have plenty left for yourself. You got it in a vault, is that it?
Oh, Jerry, please.
Well, maybe you got it spread around in savings banks, huh?
I feel very sick.
One teaspoon in water.
Yes, please.
Okay, take it. Now, where is it? sure is that money?
I'm supposed to rest after the medicine.
Rest after you tell me.
Jerry, please, the doctor...
You'll rest after you tell me! You hear what I say? Now, come on, tell me! You hear me? You hear me?
Hey, Mr. Miller. Mr. Miller!
Your order, please.
And it's me, Jerry. Is Doc Johnson anywhere in the building?
Yeah, he's up in 1212.
Give him a call and tell him to look in at 509 before he goes.
I will. Is everything all right, Jerry?
No, it isn't. But I'm going to straighten it out in the next 24 hours. You can count on that.
The same afternoon that we called on Mrs. Connor, her son Bobby received a birthday card from his father with a $5 bill in it. The card had been sent from Charleston, South Carolina. Due to uneven handwriting, had taken 5 days to reach the Connor address. Mrs. Connor notified us, and we immediately went to work on this lead. By noon the next day, we had established that the card was purchased at a gift shop across the street from the Bayview Hotel.
Bayview Hotel? Room 1014? Just a moment, I'll connect you.
Hi, Erna. Hey, call a garage for me, will you? Tell them to send New York 1N-140 around the parking area.
1N-140?
Yeah, tell them to fill it with gas.
What are you so worked up about?
Huh?
Somebody give you a half a buck tip?
Half a buck, huh? How do you like this brand new five-spot system?
Where'd you get that?
Room 509, the guy that's sick.
509?
Yeah. I guess he don't like the service around here. He wants out.
I thought he was so sick.
Well, that's what the five is for. I gotta help him to his car and drive him out of the traffic till he gets on the state road. Boy, Jerry will be burned up when he comes back on duty, huh? He thinks he's got an exclusive on 509.
Yeah, he does.
Listen, tell him to check the oil, will you?
I will.
He'll be running in about a half hour.
Okay, I'll tell him.
Yeah, who is it?
Me, Jerry. Erna. Listen, you got to get over here right away.
Why, what's the matter?
There's trouble in 509. Know what I mean?
Okay, I'll be right over.
Come in. The suitcase is on the bed in my small bag.
Hello, Mr. Miller. Nice to see you up and dressed. I didn't think you could make it.
Jerry.
Good thing I got friends around the hotel. You might have checked out without my knowing it. That's all the luggage? Just two bags?
Yes, that's all.
All right, your car's out in the parking area. Did you pay your bill yet?
Yes, the manager came up.
All right, it looks like you're all set.
Bayview Hotel. Room 1014. Just a moment, I'll connect you.
Hi, Erna. Hey, call the garage for me, will you? Tell them to send New York 1N-140 around the parking area.
1N-140?
Yeah, tell them to fill it with gas.
What are you so worked up about?
Huh?
Somebody give you a half a buck tip?
Half a buck, huh? How do you like this brand new five-spot system?
Where'd you get that?
Room 509, the guy that's sick.
509?
Yeah. I guess he don't like the service around here. He wants out.
I thought he was so sick.
Well, that's what the five is for. I gotta help him to his car and drive him out of the traffic till he gets on the state road. Boy, Jerry will be burned up when he comes back on duty, huh? He thinks he's got an exclusive on 509.
Yeah, he does.
Listen, tell him to check the oil, will you?
I will.
He'll be running in about a half hour.
Okay, I'll tell him.
Yeah, who is it?
Me, Jerry. Erna. Listen, you got to get over here right away.
Why, what's the matter?
There's trouble in 509. Know what I mean?
Okay, I'll be right over.
Come in. The suitcase is on the bed in my small bag.
Hello, Mr. Miller. It's nice to see you up and dressed. I didn't think you could make it.
Jerry.
Good thing I got friends around the hotel. You might have checked out without my knowing it. That's all the luggage? Just two bags?
Yes, that's all.
All right, your car's out in the parking area. Did you pay your bill yet?
Yes, the manager came up.
All right, it looks like you're all set. How do you feel? You think you can make it to the car?
I don't know.
Well, I can hold you up as well as the other bellboy. I gave him a couple of bucks for the privilege.
What? What are you going to do?
What do you think I'm going to do? I'm going to take you to your car and drive through the traffic just like you wanted him to. I'm not even going to take a tip. How do you like that?
Jerry, when I get down to Jacksonville, I might be able to borrow some money.
Jacksonville? You won't be going quite that far south, Mr. Miller. Your health couldn't stand the trip.
If I could borrow $5,000, would that be enough?
No, I told you my price and that's it. What, are you going to sit in that chair or do you want to get moving?
Where?
To a nice little rooming house down on Weaver Street. You're staying with me for a while.
And if I won't go?
You will. Unless you want to get turned in.
You just won't believe I haven't got any money, will you?
No, I won't believe it. I know you got it somewhere, and I'm going to find where. It's just a question of time, that's all. Now, come on, Mr. Miller. Your car is waiting.
Back to the Hart case in just a moment. Friends, next time you chew a stick of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum, notice how cool fresh it makes your mouth feel. That's because Wrigley's Spearmint Gum has lots of lively, refreshing flavor in every stick. The minute you sink your teeth in, that delicious, cooling flavor begins to freshen your taste and relieve that hot, dry feeling in your throat. It sweetens your breath, too. And the pleasant chewing adds enjoyment to whatever else you're doing. So chew and enjoy good-tasting Wrigley's Spearmint Gum every day, as millions do. That's Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Healthful, refreshing, delicious. And now, Act Three of tonight's story, The Hart Case.
A short while after we had located the seller of the birthday card, we established the fact that Walter Miller had stayed at the Bayview Hotel for 8 days and had checked out just a day ahead of us. We talked with all the employees of the hotel who might have had anything to do with him.
Yeah, I was going to take care of him the day he left here. He even gave me a 5-spot. I was going to drive him through the traffic out to the state road.
What do you mean you were going to drive him, did you?
Well, no, sir. I was going to, but one of the other boys, Jerry Thompson, gave me a couple of bucks so he could do it.
Jerry Thompson?
Yeah. He had a kind of exclusive on Mr. Miller. Like when Mr. Miller got sick, Jerry went after the doctor.
Is Thompson here at the hotel now?
Well, no, sir. It's his day off. He'll be in tomorrow.
You think this Jerry Thompson drove Mr. Miller out to the state road?
Probably. That was the deal he offered me.
I see. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Keeley. You've been very helpful.
Oh, that's okay. But I'm telling you, I don't hardly believe it yet about Mr. Miller. A mild little guy like that stealing $80,000. It's like something you see in a picture.
Unfortunately, it's true, Mr. Keeley.
$80,000. No wonder he could throw away a 5-spot. With that kind of dough, he should have slipped me 10 for what I was going to do. 20, even. 5 is kind of cheap, you ask me.
Mr. Keeley.
Yeah.
On your way out, will you ask the switchboard operator to come in? Miss Davis, is that her name?
Yes, sir. Erna Davis. Yeah, I'll tell her to come in.
Thank you.
Have we got home addresses on the bellhops?
No.
I'll get them from the manager. I'd like to see this Jerry Thompson as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Jerry, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Jerry, you got to get him out of your room. Mr. Miller, get him out right away. There are 2 FBI agents in the manager's office. They know Mr. Miller was here at the hotel. They've been talking to everybody.
FBI?
Yes. They're coming over this way, Jerry. Get Mr. Miller out of there. You hear me?
Hey, Mr. Miller.
Huh?
Mr. Miller.
Yeah, what is it?
Gotta get up and get dressed. You gotta get out of here.
Oh, Jerry, I feel very bad. You better call that
doctor. There isn't time unless you want to get cured in jail. There's a couple of FBI agents at the hotel. They might be coming here next. Did you hear me?
I can't get up, Jerry.
You'll get up if I have to carry you. Now, come on, you do what I say. The cops are after you. Now, get up and get out of here fast.
Are we going to go to the doctor first, Jerry?
Yeah, sure. We'll be there in a little while.
I'm going to make him put me in a hospital. I can't go on like this.
Sure, that's where you belong, in a hospital.
They wouldn't think of looking for me there. And I could tell the doctor that... What are we stopping for?
For me. I'm getting out.
Getting out? Where are we?
Same road we were on an hour ago. You stay on this and you'll hit Route 17 to Jacksonville.
You don't expect me to drive?
Well, it'll be a pretty long walk.
Jerry, I can't drive. You promised that you were taking me to the doctor first. You can't leave me alone here.
Sure I can.
Jerry!
I've had enough of you, mister. I don't want to be around when they pull you in.
No, don't leave me. Now, please take me to the doctor.
Oh, stop whining, will you? If you can't drive, just sit there. Somebody'll come along.
I should be at the doctor's now. This isn't the main road, and if no one comes along...
Well, that's just tough. Give me that dough and that stall until now, this wouldn't have happened.
I'm broke. I've only got $300 left.
Uh-huh. You only got 50, and you're lucky I left you that much. Okay, Mr. Miller, you're on your own. Slide over into the driver's seat.
Jerry, don't leave me now, please. Drive me out to Route 17 anyplace, but don't leave me here.
You ought to be glad I'm letting you have the car. What I ought to do is take the car myself.
Jerry!
See, there's a car coming now. There's traffic on this road.
Don't leave me alone now, please.
Oh, dry up, will you?
Hello? You people are in any trouble?
No, we just stopped to stretch. My friend here...
He's lying. I need a doctor immediately.
Shut up.
What did you say?
My friend doesn't feel too well. That's why we're stopping. You can go along, man.
Listen, mister, I'm wanted by the police. My name is Walter Miller.
Shut up.
I'm wanted by the police. My name is Walter...
Shut up!
My police! Tell them I'm Walter Miller! Shut up.
Well, that was a real smart trick, wasn't it? I hope they give you 20 years, Miller. You cheapskate. I hope they give you the works.
When Walter Miller was picked up, he was rushed immediately to a hospital, and an alarm went out for Jerry Thompson. Thompson was caught 2 days later and was held for harboring a fugitive. In 3 months, Miller was well enough to stand trial. Evidence showed that he had spent all of the money that he had embezzled, and he was convicted and sentenced to 15 years in prison. Jerry Thompson, tried separately, was sentenced to 5 years. Our books are now closed on the Hart case. Friends, one of the reasons it's a good idea to chew Wrigley's Spearmint Gum often is that it satisfies you without being rich or filling. There's lots of delicious, long-lasting flavor in a stick of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. Real taste enjoyment. And besides, you get enjoyment from the pleasant chewing. It gives you a nice little lift and helps tide you over till mealtime. Helps keep your mouth moist, your taste fresh, too. So do what millions do. Keep Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum handy. And enjoy it every day. It tastes so good, lasts so long, and gives you real chewing enjoyment. In tonight's story, Eric Dressler played the part of Walter Miller, and Bob Reddick was Jerry Thompson. This radio dramatization for the FBI in Peace and War was written by Louis Pelletier. These programs are produced and directed by Betty Mandeville. All names and characters used on the program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This program is based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War, and the broadcast does not imply endorsement, authorization, or approval by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The makers of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum, the refreshing, delicious treat that gives you real chewing enjoyment, invite you to listen to next Wednesday's story, Grave Era, on the FBI in Peace and War. Same time, same station.
This is the CBS Radio Network.